Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. This is Larry Jacobs, and we thank you so much for listening to one of our K-12 editions of Education Talk Radio today. As always, we much appreciate it. We appreciate you going to our website. A lot of people do listen on the archives over there, education-talkradio.org. And if you're listening live and want to pass the show on to others, please tell your friends. We also tweet over at EduTalkRadio, at EduTalkRadio. So please check both of those things out. We'd love to have you follow us, and we'd love to have you go over to our website. You can also link at the website over to our higher education side over at HigherEducationTalkRadio.org, and they link back and forth, et cetera. We got a great show today about STEM. It's our second STEM show today. First one is with the National Society of Black Engineers, which is doing an amazing job in getting urban kids involved in engineering at a very young age. Absolutely incredible. If you want to listen to that, it's archived over at the show. We're going to have Chris Rowe, the Chief Executive Officer of the California STEM Learning Network, on in just about 2 seconds. Before we bring Chris on, though, I want to thank Ward's Natural Science for sponsoring today's show. It's wardsci.com, WARDSCI.com, wardsci.com. They're proud to support the work of the Cal STEM Learning Network and all of the associations involved in STEM learning. It's so important. We're talking about California today, but I'm telling you, no matter where you are teaching, if you want to find solutions and specimens and superior lab activities for the best science classrooms you can imagine, please check out wardsci.com. Wardsci.com. Do it today. They are a great company. And thank you, Noel, for putting this together for me. Let me bring Chris on here. Mr. Chris Rowe, how you doing?
I'm great, Larry. How are you?
Well, I am just fine, my friend. It's good to have you back on the show. Thank you so much for taking time out of your busy morning. Did you have to swallow that Egg McMuffin really quickly or what?
Yes, I did.
Chris is in California. We moved to Maine. I don't know if you know that, Chris.
I did not know that, but I was wondering how you guys fared with your recent weather events out there on the East Coast.
We did great. We were at the top of both storms, both that nor'easter and that Hurricane Sandy, and our Superstorm Sandy, I should say. So we had a little wind, little rain associated with each, a drop of snow even a week and a half ago when the nor'easter hit, but nothing, and I mean nothing, no damage or anything, and certainly nothing compared to what's been going on, where they're still out of power in some parts of New York and New Jersey. I don't know what those poor people are doing.
Yeah, well, I'm glad to hear that. I know a lot of people have really been suffering back east, so our thoughts are with them.
So you're glad to hear people are suffering. I'll mark that down.
No.
Just kidding. You know that, Chris.
Yes.
Chris, besides a good sense of humor, in his other life is the Chief Executive Officer of the California STEM Learning Network, a nonprofit located in magnificent San Francisco, California. This is the website, CSLNET, CSLNET.org, CSLNET.org. Okay, you just recently convened your California STEM Summit, correct?
We did. We had a great event in San Diego about 4 weeks ago.
You guys sure go to nice places. It's not hard in California, but
it was a great venue. But beyond that, we really wanted to go to San Diego to really showcase what they're doing in that part of the state. And you may know San Diego is a terrific area for STEM. They've got a whole lot going on in the area around bio, and there's a lot of defense installations down there that are doing some really interesting things in STEM as well. So we had an opportunity to showcase our local partner in San Diego, the San Diego Science Alliance, who is our local host, but also to bring in a lot of groups from the region to kind of showcase some of the interesting things they're doing in STEM education. So in addition to being a beautiful venue, it was a strategic decision as well to really showcase the great things that they're doing down in the San Diego region.
Actually, San Diego is super. In fact, they even my good friends are over at Smart Brief, and they put out all these newsletters, okay, for various associations, etc. But as far as I know, only one school district uses it to get the word out. And they're a newsletter publisher, wonderful in education and beyond. And it's Smart Brief, and San Diego Unified is the one district that uses Smart Brief, which I thought was very cool. I just had them on the show yesterday, Smart Brief.
Oh, great. Yeah.
They're good thinkers, kiddo. They're good thinkers, I got to tell you. You know, they really are. So what were the outcomes of it? Who was there? First of all, let me ask this. Who was there?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well,
when we say California STEM Learning Network, who was there? And then what came out of it?
Yeah, that's a great question, because our event is really pretty unique, because we bring together the educators, obviously, the key leaders across the state in STEM education, but we also bring a lot of business and industry leaders to the event and our higher ed partners as well. So in addition to that, there were a lot of nonprofits that were there and a lot of funders and policymakers from around the state as well. So Tom Torlakson, our state superintendent, our great leader that we have here in California, was at the event and provided opening comments. And the Department of Education also played a very key role in helping to put the event on as well. So it was a really interesting mix of people. And that's one of the things that the attendees noted, is that it was a great opportunity to develop new partnerships and new collaborations, because it's not always that you get the K-12 educators in the room with the higher ed leaders and the business and industry leaders and the policymakers. So it was a really interesting mix of people, which I think really helped make it just a terrific event. A lot of great networking and new partnerships that were formed as well. The other group that
what would be let me lead right there. What would be a typical partnership? When you say a partnership, what do you mean by that?
Well, it might be one of our business and industry partners that's been looking to work with schools. I know there were quite a few representatives from business and industry that were there,
mm-hmm. I would think
and
so.
Have some interesting programs or ideas that they've been trying to get off the ground, looking for ways to connect some of their employees perhaps with schools or with programs that are going on. So it was really a great venue to bring together these people that are oftentimes struggling to find new partners and connections. So we provided a lot of networking time, and that was one of the things that folks said in the evaluations was really important and helpful, that they had an opportunity to meet new people that they hadn't previously had a chance to reach out to.
So what is the state of STEM these days in California, Chris?
Well, that's a great question as well. I'm much more optimistic this morning and as of a couple of days ago than I would have been.
Of course, I'm like Mary Sunshine, and you're talking to me.
Right. Yeah, after talking with you, the world is right.
How could you be sad anymore?
That's right.
Right.
No, California, I think we're on the right path. And, we've had, and we've talked about this before when I've spoken with you, we've had a lot of challenges here in California. We've had just some devastating budget cuts that have really crippled both our K-12 and higher education system. But as a result of the election, one key ballot initiative that was being promoted actually by our state superintendent and our governor was Proposition 30, which would provide additional revenue for schools and for universities.
Is that the one that increased the taxes and all that sort of thing?
It does increase the sales tax and then the tax on those making more than $250,000 a year. So it was passed. It was looking shaky there for a moment. And actually, when I went to bed on election eve, it had seemed that it was not going to pass. But I woke up in the morning and found that it indeed did pass by a pretty healthy margin. So that was a really big move for the state and for taxpayers to really stand up and say that they believe this is important to the future of our state. So I think here in California, things are looking better. When it comes to STEM education, we've talked about this before, there are amazing things that are happening across our state. The challenge we have as a state, I think, is that we are so big that we've got great ideas that may be taking shape and taking hold in one small area, and they don't always scale to larger areas across the state. So so we're really excited about some of the new things that are happening. We just were notified that we were part of the winning application for an I-3 grant from the U.S. Department of Education, along with West Ed.
Well, congratulations.
Well, thank you. We're very excited about that. It's a validation grant to really scale some very promising, effective practices for early math education. And we'll be partnering with our regional partners around the state to bring together quite a few schools who are going to actually pilot this intervention that's been developed by WestEd and has had
and
some very promising
me,
results.
Reminds me, I couldn't put it together. I was talking earlier today. I told my friends over at Mind Research Institute, which is a math intervention program.
I know them well.
I told them, just in case you didn't, I told Ingrid to get in touch with you because I thought would be a good mix.
Oh, yeah,
you know
I know
Ingrid?
Them very well.
Okay, cool.
I don't know if I know her personally.
She's great.
Yep.
She's great. Andrew, the president, is terrific, and she is fantastic.
Yes,
Ingrid Ellerby.
I know Andrew, definitely. Okay. So, look, yeah, they're terrific.
He's a great guy. I think he looks like Walter White on Breaking Bad. Oh, crazy, right? All right, you ever watch Breaking Bad?
No, I don't know that show.
Well, you're missing the best show on TV, but you have to start from the beginning, okay?
Okay.
But at any rate, we'll move on from there, because he says, no, I don't, so we'll just move on from there. But they're a great company over at Mind Research. I really, really like them a lot. I thought of you when I was talking to Ingrid this week and mentioned that, and I think I even sent her an email about it. So if she calls, you know who she is.
Great, thank you.
They're great people. Do you think, now we know that the people of California who voted to increase the taxes to pay for the schools, you think they're starting to get it, that this is all about jobs in the future and all that sort of thing? And that I love is how you weave industry and schools together, which I think is such an important thing.
I think they do get it. And, this was a big test for the state, and the governor really committed a lot of his time and resources to helping educate the state and the taxpayers why this is so important. And our superintendent and state legislators have really stepped up as well and really gotten the word out about, the current state we're in, which is, pretty troubling. But if this hadn't passed, we would have had even more just devastating cuts to our schools and to our colleges and universities. So I think we're headed in the right direction. There's a lot on the horizon. California is part of the Next Generation Science Standards movement. Superintendent Torlakson has convened a task force on STEM education. I'm part of that task force, and that group is wrapping up its work right now, and will be coming out with a report probably in after the first of the year, kind of laying out.
If you want
to
bring it up, we can have those on. You can be you can help be the spokesman, whatever.
Sure, happy to do that.
I'd love that. That'd be great.
So there's a lot of momentum here in California right now.
Well, I said this before, by the way. Chris Rowe, who we're talking to, is chief executive officer of the California STEM Learning Network. They're based in San Francisco, California, CSLNet. org. You know, California is really the canary in the coal mine, so to speak. Okay, what seems to happen happens to California first. So if California's making a change for the better, other states will follow. Okay, I hope, and I think that's why it's really, really important that we stay in touch with you guys all the time at the CalSTEM Learning Network. What do you do with community colleges? I'm curious about that. You mentioned higher ed a few minutes ago. Okay.
Yeah.
And I know the community colleges are really involved. We just started Community College Talk Radio. I'm into that these days. So what's going on with you and community colleges out there?
Yeah, well, probably here in California, we have more than 110 community colleges that educate massive numbers of students. And they've really suffered a huge blow through a lot of these budget cuts. And they've really been impacted by that. But we're doing quite a bit of work with community colleges. And they were prominently featured and represented at our summit. We did a great workforce panel with some leaders from the community college chancellor's office kind of talking about what the community college agenda is and how they're really honing their mission to focus much more strongly on transfer, but also workforce preparation. Our community colleges here in the state, have many, many missions that they serve, but they're really trying to focus in on those two areas. And STEM is a huge area for them. So they're very interested in partnering and are doing some just amazing partnerships with K-12 schools, to make sure that students are getting the right information about how they need to prepare and getting information about career opportunities in a lot of these fields, because they do a huge part of the preparation for our STEM workforce here in the state of California.
They really do. They do a great job across the country, and it's really, really good stuff. I'm going to say you have some guy. I remember his old name, Lou Alcindor. Remember Lou Alcindor? Do you know who that is?
Yes. Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. Absolutely.
I show my age when I say Lou Alcindor. Right. Good old boy. Good.
Yes,
that was a long time ago, man. Powers Memorial Academy was where he went in New York, I believe. Then he went out to UCLA, right?
That's right. I remember him as Lou Alcindor as well when he started with the Milwaukee Bucks, and then he changed his name to Kareem Abdul-Jabbar.
And everybody went nuts like it matters.
Right.
So ridiculous. You know? Kareem, what a great guy, just a great guy. Okay, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. Now, why am I bringing up this basketball great, this great humanitarian, when I'm talking to you? What does Kareem Abdul-Jabbar have to do with Chris Rowe at the California STEM Learning Network?
Well, that's
a leading question. I know
it is. Yeah. Well, we had the terrific opportunity to have Kareem Abdul-Jabbar at our recent summit. And at the summit, he was named as the state after-school STEM ambassador by the superintendent of education for the state of California. So,
great.
Yeah. He came to our summit and was really inspiring, gave a great keynote speech, and I had a chance to interview him. Find out a little bit more about his background and just how he got interested in STEM and why he's very interested in STEM today.
What was it in his background that began an interest in STEM education?
Well, he has a very interesting background from when he was back in New York City, and his commitment to education has always been very strong. And
yeah, you can see that. You can see it, and it's always come across that way.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, he's just a guy you immediately respect and understand. He's always been a quiet, thoughtful kind of guy.
Exactly. Yeah, he definitely came across that way. And he recently started a new foundation called the Skyhook Foundation, based out of L.A., which, you know, after his famous patented Skyhook. But
that's it.
The mission of the organization is really to provide mentorship to kids, underrepresented kids, to show them that in addition to athletics, they can use their mind to do great things. So he's just recently started that, but he also wrote a book very recently, which just came out. It's called What Color Is My World, and it's about African-American inventors, and it's a terrific book.
I think I saw him interviewed on Colbert one night about
mm-hmm.
that.
Yes.
Yeah. Cool. Yeah.
And he realized as he was writing this book that the kinds of things that really brought these inventors to the forefront and really propelled them as inventors really got down to science and engineering and technology. And he made the connection with STEM as he was writing
mm-hmm.
that book, and learned about the growing movement around STEM education, and became very interested in learning more about it. So. He's now, fully on board in terms of promoting STEM education through his foundation and through his public appearances as a personality, and will work, here with the state to help bring more spotlight to the great kinds of activities that are happening during after school and the opportunity for after school to provide opportunities to do STEM education.
And what will he be doing? This sounds kind of silly because I know he's busy with a zillion things, but will he actually be visiting schools and all that sort of thing on behalf of STEM, et cetera? Or how's it going to manifest itself as the year goes by?
Well, yeah, so at our summit, he came and was very generous with his time with our student showcase that I was mentioning, that we had a lot of student groups from the San Diego region. He came
mm-hmm.
and went and met with the student groups and talked with them and learned about what they were doing, and really, really energized the kids. It was terrific to see him, 7 foot plus with some of these kids that were, very early elementary school kids all the way up.
Looking up.
Yeah, it was was terrific, and I know he's done another event also with the state superintendent with after school programs. So I think he will be out and talking to kids and looking at different things that are happening around the state. I don't have his schedule, but I know but I know he's going to be doing other appearances around the country as well. He's launching a national tour with a lot of his sports memorabilia. His new statue is being unveiled at the at UCLA.
Actually,
it may have actually just happened. Now that I think about it, so he's launching a national tour, and I think he's going to be talking about STEM education as part of that tour as well.
Boy, that's great. When Kareem talks, people listen, to put it quite bluntly. He really is a great guy. Congrats on him being the STEM ambassador. That's fantastic. Okay, let's talk about women. Women in STEM. Okay?
Yes.
What's happening there?
Well, we also, at our summit, used it as an opportunity to highlight the need for more women in STEM fields and to highlight some of the top leading women in STEM in our state of California. The data in this field is pretty interesting when you look at interest and career choices for women. Women are definitely underrepresented in STEM fields, and we need to do a better job in identifying for girls, especially young girls, before they start thinking about or as they're beginning to think about career options, that these are terrific career opportunities for women. So we had a banquet and recognized 12 leading women in our state who really made some tremendous contributions to the field of STEM education. And
Were they teachers or were they administrators or were they actual engineers or professors? What was the typical?
A very interesting group of women. We asked for nominations. We got women from industry, from companies like Raytheon and the Creative Artist Agency. We also got academics and women like Helen Quinn, who's just been a phenomenal leader and really helped to propel the Next Generation Science Standards movement forward as the leader of that commission through the National Academies that did the initial study for that. Chancellor Linda Katehi from UC Davis, who's been just a tremendous leader in educating around engineering and opportunities for women and a terrific role model for women as well. So it was a very interesting mix. From teachers to administrators to business leaders across the state.
And I see, by the way, on your website that Chancellor Katehi, I would have pronounced that wrong and you'd not just said it, K-A-T-E-H-I, Chancellor Katehi at UC Davis, and she's speaking about STEM education in a video right on the front page of your website.
Yes, we did some great videos with folks that were attending the summit. And we'll be putting those up to our website so people can definitely look at those videos. And they can also go to Fora TV if they want to, which is Fora TV live streamed the event and archived it for us as well. So if people want to go and look at the event online, pull down. We had some amazing keynote speakers and some terrific panels. They can go and search California STEM Summit 2012 at Fora TV. I believe it's foratv.com.
Well, I just keep saying, spell out that word. What kind of TV is it? Say it
yeah,
again.
It's F-O-R-A
okay,
dot
that's what I
TV.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm, yep.
Okay.
And they archived the event, so you can go and download individual sessions or keynotes. We had some amazing speakers at the conference this year. And
well, I bet you did.
So
I bet you did. You know, the show just before, about an hour before this show started, I was talking with a gentleman on the air named Dr. Carl Mack, who runs the National Society for Black Engineers, which actually is an education organization, all right? And their membership is not only the alumni, okay, African-Americans who are working in engineering, but more importantly, students of engineering who are African-American and other ethnic groups, et cetera. And they're working very hard in urban areas. One that he mentioned was Oakland. Very close to you, obviously. Okay, and they have a program called SEEK, okay, which is a summer engineering experience for kids or some an acronym like that. Okay, and I'm curious, you know, we talked about, Kareem, we talked about the women. What in California, you have major cities there, and the cities are hurting too, okay? When you go out and you talk to all these people, is the STEM working in the urban areas? I mean, you have like great superintendents and that sort of stuff. Talk to me about what's going on out there in terms of urban education. That catchphrase.
Yeah, I know Carl Mack, Dr. Mack, and really admire the work that they're doing across the country. And I wasn't aware of the program in Oakland, but I would love to find out more about that.
He mentioned it very quickly, and he listed in a bunch of cities. He listed Oakland.
Yes. Because there are some amazing things happening in urban areas around our state, and in Oakland is one of those areas. We're doing quite a bit of work in Oakland and with the folks over in Alameda and Contra Costa counties. They're starting some green academies. So they've got a huge focus on STEM, and they've got a terrific leader in their superintendent over there. So they're really, I would say, making some great strides over in Oakland to really to doing some really, really innovative things and have some terrific leadership. Same with San Francisco. San Francisco Unified is really making some strong strides and putting in a new STEM advisor or a STEM kind of lead person for their district as well. You've got cities like Fresno and Clovis. Here in California, a number of these districts went together, the larger urban districts went together through something called CORE when they were applying for Race to the Top funds, which California ultimately did not receive. It's a very long story and kind of a sad story for California. But these large, I think there are eight of the largest urban districts in the state have been working together based on that initial Race to the Top application, and they're doing some really innovative things, and they're partnering together to really share best practices. So you've got cities like Long Beach Unified with Chris Steinhauser that's just doing amazing things and have won a lot of awards for urban education. So there are some terrific examples here in the state. You've got John Deasy down at LA Unified, who's really trying to get things turned around down there.
Yeah, that's a big district. Woo.
It's a huge, huge district.
Oh,
and
man.
We're just excited to be starting a regional STEM network down in Los Angeles right now in partnership with the LA Chamber of Commerce and Unite LA. So we're
that's
really,
great.
Really excited about that as well.
That's great, and of course, we women. We mentioned African American kids, Latinos, all of this. I mean, we are. And I'll say this quite simply. Schools, by the way, I don't believe they're failing, but they're not doing as well as they could. Okay, but we're missing a lot of potential out there. We just got to get all this together. And what's interesting, I find, I always say, nobody moves until you feel the pain. For goodness sakes, all right.
Right.
And corporations. Okay, are starting to realize, which is good, that if they don't participate in the educational process K-12, they're going to lose out at the end of that line in trying to find qualified workers to continue the corporation.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay? And
absolutely.
I don't want them to feel pain. That's not my point, but they do feel pain. Okay, and that's what gets them to act, and that's what you're doing out there is getting everybody together to understand we're all in this ocean together. And we've
exactly.
all got to hang on the life. We've got to build a life raft together, or we all sink.
Yep. I'll point out one other interesting set of programs that's happening in urban education too, and a lot of these are STEM focused. But California has something called the Partnership Academies, Career Partnership Academies,
mm-hmm.
and there are several hundred of them around the state. These are high school. These are career academies that have to have at least I can't remember the exact percentage, but I think they have to be at least 50% low-income or disadvantaged students. And they've had just some tremendous results. Many of these academies are STEM-focused or draw on the STEM areas and have done just amazing work in terms of the outcomes of kids getting not only interested in careers but getting the preparation they need to then go on to college. There's one program in particular here in California called Linked Learning. I don't know if you've ever had them on your show.
No, I haven't. I haven't heard of them, actually.
Yeah, it is a career academy, but it's a really, I call them the Cadillac of career academies. And
is it a chain or is it one school?
No, they're around the state. I think there's at least 23 districts that have them, and some of them are complete districts that have that throughout the entire district.
Is it a charter school or is it...
They're not charter schools, no, but it does. It is a partnership, a career-themed curriculum, but it's all ensured that everything that the students take is here in California is college prepared.
Wow.
So in many cases, you find that career technical education, the students get off the track for college work. And here in California, we have what's called the A through G requirement, which students have to complete in order to be eligible for the UCs and the CSUs.
That was my grade in math, the G. I was able to get the X.
Yeah.
I went the G. Right. I'm
exactly.
actually on the website. I think I'm on the website Pathways to College and Career Success, Linked Learning Alliance, right?
Yes.
LinkedLearning.org, I'm assuming. Oh, yeah, they're in Sacramento, right. Yeah, mm-hmm. LinkedLearning.org. I'll learn more and invite them on.
Yeah, they're really doing some great work here in California and have some terrific outcomes and results to share out. So
it sounds to me, from what you're saying, that California is getting to be in pretty good shape again, at least with STEM. They're starting to get it together. This is good news, not bad news. They're moving in the right direction. I'll keep saying these cliches until you say yes. Right.
My answer is yes. Yes, we are. We are moving in the right direction.
The glass is half full, not half empty.
Yeah, we've got.
I'm just clicheing along here. That's
yes, we're. Whatever cliche you want to use, I think that California is moving in the right direction. We're fortunate here that we do have some major funders that are committing resources to this. That are really getting behind STEM education. You've got groups like private corporations like Chevron and Intel that are really stepping up their game as well. We've got George Lucas, who's just announced he's going to put the proceeds from the sale of Lucasfilms to education, and we're hoping that a good chunk of that will help STEM education as well.
That actually will pay for education for the next 27,000 years in California.
Right. Yeah, it's a big chunk of change, but in the overall scheme of things in California, with 6 million students, it's not that big. But
it is hard. But I always enjoy talking to you, and I'll tell you, I still believe, and I know it's not exactly accurate anymore, but California always represents to everybody other than 49 states the cutting edge. Okay, and it's really important that you guys. Maintain that. I hate to say it's an image, and I don't know if it's a legend. But you get it. When you started falling apart in STEM, people started working together, and look where it went to. They just passed this Proposition 30. I mean, it is a state that understands the importance of it. It's a high-tech state. It used to be aircraft. Now it's computers. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
it really recognizes it, you know?
Absolutely.
You're lucky. So now, who do you want to be a member of the Cal STEM Learning Network? Who should be getting in touch with you? Should school districts be getting in touch with you?
So the way we work with regional partners around the state because, as I mentioned, California is so huge, and we really try to help those regional partners like the San Diego Science Alliance, like the CSU East Bay STEM Network, be the point of service providers at the level of the schools. So, I mean, schools can obviously contact us, and we've got terrific resources on our website, and we're happy
to help out.
Yep. But we really encourage folks to work with and through our regional partners around the state, because they're more responsive to what's happening in the Sacramento region or what's happening in San Diego or in Orange County. But we work very closely with those regional partners, and they all work together as well. But we love working with business and industry partners. They're really, really key to the work that we're doing, our higher ed partners as well. Our state policymakers, we'll have, I think, 40 new members of our state assembly starting in January. So it's important, and we have a high turnover rate because of our laws here in the state around term limits. So it's really important that we ensure that our policymakers, whether they're on our state board of education or in the state legislature, really understand and get these issues as well. So we'll spend a lot of time over the next year helping educate them about what this is and why it's so important to the state as well. And a lot of them come already prepared to support this, but oftentimes we have to spend some time working with them to educate them about the issues as well.
Yeah, and, I'll tell you something else. I've said this a number of times on the show, but, the one thing this nation has in common, the one thing, we can just say California, we can say the whole nation, the one thing is education. It used to be the draft as well. For the guys, okay, but that's ended a long time ago. But everybody had military service to do for the most part. But that's kind of ended. But the commonality across the board, okay, and Common Core is a classic example, is education. Okay, everybody goes to school, and everybody knows how important it is. And you would think that everybody would be lining up to support education all the time because that's the commonality. And that's the first question people ask when they buy a house in a neighborhood. How are the schools?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Right.
And it just seems to me, and I'm glad you're doing the great work you're doing, but I've never understood the argument about funding schools, because everybody has it in common, everybody cares, everybody wants the best possible schools, okay? And there's always a fight to the death over funding for them. It's the first thing to go. Can you explain that to me, Chris?
I wish I could, but I'm encouraged to hear. I would agree with you, but I am encouraged after seeing the results on Proposition 30 that here we might be turning a corner in California.
I think you are, and I think I don't sell yourself short or your organization, the California STEM Learning Network. I mean, you're doing a great job of coalescing the communities. The industrial community, the school community, the foundation community, et cetera, okay, to put together something that's really starting to percolate out there in bad times. So you double congratulations on that, my friend.
Well, thank you, Larry. I appreciate that. And it's a testament to the work of my team and to our partners around the state that they're willing to put themselves out and collaborate. We've seen the model of collective social impact, you know, that's been talked about a lot, and it's really, you know, it's happening here in our state, and people are willing to come to the table and work together. So I'm really excited and pleased by that.
Well, you got every corner covered on there. I think it's great, Chris. We'll have you back on. Obviously, let's get you back on and bring on a guest next time if you want. Okay, and we'll get more stuff percolate. We could do higher ed, etc. I really love the stuff you guys do out there.
Sure, thank you.
No, you're welcome, my friend. You have a good good Thanksgiving.
You too. Enjoy it.
And also, I'll remind you, call Dr. Mack, Carl Mack over at NSBE, because he'll tell you about the stuff in Oakland. It's really good stuff.
I will definitely reconnect with him. I want to find out what they're doing in Oakland and around the state. So
he's a great guy.
Thanks for the connection. I appreciate it.
Oh, you're welcome. And you take care, Chris. Have a great holiday, and I'll talk to you soon after.
Okay. Thanks, Larry. Take care.
Thanks, Chris. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Chris Rowe is the damn good chief executive officer of the California STEM Learning Network, who's brought together the whole community through the whole state, nonprofit based in San Francisco, California. Learn more. CSLNet.org, CSLNet.org. Okay, and we mentioned Mind Research Institute, I think mindresearch.net, the Society for Black Engineers, NSBE.org, great stuff. Dr. Mack was on the show earlier today. You can listen to that show, etc. And for all of this, our show was sponsored by Ward's Natural Science, the S in STEM. Okay, they're proud to support the work of what Chris is doing out there in California and all of the great associations that put together great STEM work all over the country. No matter where you're teaching, if you want to find the best solutions, the best specimens, superior lab activities to make the best science classrooms you can possibly imagine, go over to WardSci, WardSci.com, WardSci.com. Go over today. Check it out. It's a great site, a lot of fun, WardSci.com. You'll see some great stuff over there. We're going to archive the show at education-talkradio.org. We're going to tweet it at EduTalk Radio. I'm Larry Jacobs, and we want to thank Chris Rowe and Ward's Natural Science for today's show. You folks have a great day. Check our schedule at the website. We got great shows coming up.